Radio.
Pope Francis's Love for the Poor, a talk by Father Thomas McFadden at Evenings with Pope Francis.
Good evening, everybody. Can you all hear me? Is this kind of okay?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much, Nat, for that wonderful welcome. Where did you disappear to? Over there. Thank you. I don't know how nice I am. Hopefully I'll try and be nice with all of you today, at least today. At least today. Now, I think I know what you're all probably thinking. You're probably thinking, we're here at Evenings with Pope Francis. And this guy doesn't look anything like Pope Francis. He has way too much facial hair, and he's way too brown at the moment. I'm sorry. But this evening, I'm hoping, and it's really the goal, that we're going to try and share, as for as much as we can, some of the ideas of Pope Francis on his own love for the poor, and on the love for the poor that we're supposed to have as Catholics, as Christians. And we have half an hour, or I have half an hour to share that with you. But I can tell you that Pope Francis's love for the poor is way bigger than half an hour, trust me. It's way bigger than half an hour, but we'll put what we can into half an hour into this talk. So let us begin with a prayer. And our prayer is, let's just listen with an open heart to the Word of God, to Philippians chapter 2. St. Paul writes, "Have among yourselves the same attitude that is also yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness. And found human in appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen." Love for the poor. It's been a very important theme of Pope Francis. It's been a very important theme since the very beginning of his papacy. And we're going to go right back to the very beginning of his papacy just to check that out. But it's something that was there at the beginning. It's something he's very passionate about. And it's something that everyone's taking note of, which is a very good thing. So let us go right back to the very beginning of his papacy. Let's enter into the conclave, where they're voting for who will be the next pope. You can't get any further back than that. And let's look at Pope Francis' own words of what took place. He was under the veil of secrecy. He wasn't able to say too much, but he did speak just at that moment. And he was sitting next to Cardinal Claudio Humes, he is a Franciscan, still alive. And he says that he's sitting next to Cardinal Humes, "A dear, dear friend," and this is his own words, "when things were getting a little dangerous." I like that. You know, the votes are being counted and it looks like he might be getting close to becoming Pope. "When things were getting a little dangerous, he comforted me," Cardinal Humes. "And then, when the votes reached the 2/3, there was the usual applause because the Pope had just been elected. He hugged me and he said, 'Do not forget the poor.' And that word stuck here," tapping his forehead. "The poor, the poor." So right at the very moment he realizes he becomes Pope, a little voice is whispered into his ear, "Do not forget the poor." And I think that reminded me straight away of that moment if you remember in Galatians, when St. Paul's speaking about the first council of the church, the Council of Jerusalem, where St. Paul went to meet with St. Peter and the early apostles just to check out that the gospel that he's preaching to the Gentiles is okay, that it runs well, and because they were facing a lot of issues. Should the Gentiles be following all the prescriptions in the law? And so when he goes to meet with St. Peter and the pillars of the church, they say to him that they were happy with what the way Paul was preaching and his message, but they said to him, just don't forget the poor. And we see the Holy Spirit at work in that early council, and I think we can see definitely the Holy Spirit at work in the College of Cardinals, and I think even in the voice of Cardinal Hummers in that moment. Do not forget the poor. Those words of Pope Francis that I quoted when he was explaining the situation in that room at that time, they were part of his explanation for why he chose the name Francis. Remember, when he chose the name Francis, everyone was wondering, well, he's a Jesuit, perhaps it's St. Francis Xavier. Others were thinking, well, it could be Francis de Sales, a great doctor of the church, and probably all the Franciscans, and only the Franciscans were thinking, well, it might be Francis of Assisi. And so here, when he gave this, was only a couple of days after being elected. It was before 6,000 journalists. And I'll just continue on, just that second little bit, just after he said, the words, the poor, were sticking in mind. And then he says, then immediately in relation to the poor, I thought of Francis of Assisi. Then I thought of war, while the voting continued, until all the votes were counted. And so the name came to my heart, Francis of Assisi. For me, he is the man of poverty, the man of peace, the man who loves and safeguards creation. Then he continued on and said, oh, how I wish for a church that is poor and for the poor. And just that phrase, he kind of left it at that, and it made a lot of people wonder, what does he mean, a poor church for the poor? And it really got the media buzzing, it got a lot of people buzzing about, well, this is, it's a very interesting expression. What does he mean? And really, the media was buzzing for a long time after his election. You remember, straight after his election, he took the bus back with the cardinals back to the place. So in the bus, if you've seen the photo, it's quite an interesting photo. You've got all the cardinals wearing the black cassocks and the red, and you've just got this one guy wearing white sitting in there amongst the rest of them. And just that little moment, I mean, it made a splash. It made a splash with the media, it made a splash, I think, in people's hearts as well. Not only did he do that, you also heard he went and paid the bill at the place he was staying. And he's been staying. He hasn't been staying in the papal the papal apartments, but he's been staying in Casa Santa Marta, which expresses a little bit of his simplicity, but more so, of course, which is what he expressed, that he really wants to be with the people. And being at Casa Santa Marta gives him an opportunity to really be with the people. And we'll touch on that in just a little while too. So the media loved it. Is the Pope doing it for show? Well, I don't think he's doing it for show. Because this is how he is. This is how he lives out the gospel. He wants to encounter people. It keeps the media interested. And the media have been fairly interested continually. I mean, it died off a little bit, but especially with these interviews that he's been giving, kind of off-the-cuff interviews, it's really kept the media interested in a big way. So that's just a little bit of the beginning, when we see that the poor was right there in the midst of it. Just something very brief on his origins. Here we have elected the first pope from South America. He's from Argentina, and he's not from Europe. So South America has a lot of poverty. So you've got someone that's coming from a context where there is a lot of poverty. And he brings that with him. He brings that perspective. He says, my people are poor, and I am one of them. And we know that he lived in an apartment. When he was there, he would frequently cook his own dinner, and he would take the public transport. So he wanted to stay grounded, to stay in touch with the people. He's above all a pastor. He carries the concerns of the people that he serves. So just that little brief look at his origins. We can see his love for the poor also in the places that he's chosen to visit. If you look very early on, when he decided to go and to visit somewhere, when he left Rome to go somewhere, he chose the island of Lampedusa. And that island is a very important choice of place, because especially in the context of all the revolutions and things that have been happening in Africa, you have refugees fleeing from Africa, trying to reach Europe. And this island of Lampedusa was where they were heading to. And we heard around that time too, that some boats didn't make it. So the disaster of refugees, people that are fleeing for their lives, trying to find somewhere safe, perishing in the ocean. These are people that, I mean, they're probably fleeing without documentation, fleeing without paperwork, fleeing without identification. So they're, and then they disappear into the ocean. Pope Francis chooses this place as somewhere to visit. And I mean, it makes a statement. And while he was there, he did something very profound too. There's this image of him throwing he threw a wreath into the water, a flowery wreath, really to acknowledge that a lot of people have perished. And that these aren't just people without identities. These aren't just a group of unknown people. Okay, these are individuals, these are human persons. And by doing this, he really acknowledges that, look, there's a real need here. There's a disastrous situation, and these people have lost their lives, and it matters. Other choices of places to visit are very important too. You'll remember on Holy Thursday that instead of celebrating the Holy Thursday liturgy in one of the papal basilicas, he chose to go into a juvenile detention centre. And that's, I think, a very big expression, I think, of what do we do when we celebrate the Last Supper. Part of the liturgy is that where the priest washes the feet, imitates Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. Here's Jesus in the midst of the Last Supper, the most important, the meals of that he instituted the Eucharist. In the context of this very important meal, he got up from the table and washed the feet of his disciples. You don't do that here. I hope none of you, well, I mean, it's a good thing to do in terms of serving our neighbor, but none of us would probably get up and wash the feet of others even in the context of this place, never mind in such a sacred meal. And I think with Pope Francis doing this in the context of Holy Thursday, he's really doing the same dynamic that's in place that Jesus was doing and that we celebrate. This going and really putting yourself at service of the other. So I think that's a big event as well, going Holy Thursday to the juvenile detention centre, to those who are prisoners. And we know to visit the prisoners, that's a corporal work of mercy. He visits hospitals, he visits institutes for the disabled, soup kitchens. When he was in Rio, he visited the favelas, so the slums. He went there and he said, "The church is with you." Even in St. Peter's Square, when there are these celebrations, sometimes you've seen him get off the Pope Mobile and go and embrace someone who's disabled, the children, those who are suffering. He has these encounters, these experiences with the poor and with the suffering. They're instances that witness to Jesus' own love for the poor. And I think they really express just this little line of Pope Francis that he says in another context, but he says that you can't speak of poverty without having experience with the poor. You can't speak of poverty in the abstract. That doesn't exist. Poverty is in the flesh of the poor Jesus, in that child who is hungry, in the one who is sick, in those unjust social structures. Okay, poverty is enfleshed. It's in the poor person, and that poverty is to be encountered. Now, one of the things I really like about Pope Francis is he's very good with words. Like he's very pastoral, and in his homilies, he's got these nicely coined phrases that he often repeats, and they'll come out hopefully in some of the things I say here. But one of those words that he used, probably not one of the major words, but one that appears especially in the context of the poor, is the word scandal. He used this a number of times, the word scandal, with respect to the poor, to stress our apathy and our indifference in this regard. It really, an indifference to the poor is shameful. In June, he said, "Poverty in the world is a scandal. In a world where there is so much wealth, so many resources to feed everyone, It is unfathomable that there are so many hungry children, so many children without an education, so many poor persons. Poverty today is a cry. Doesn't really sound good in English, but I think if you know Italian, I think it's probably the word grida, which is really from the heart. He also used the word scandal too in his message for the World Food Day. Now, World Food Day, just so you know, you think Rome, you think World Food Day. It could be great pasta and pizza and wine, but World Food Day is a different concept. It's usually, looking at the distribution of food and really looking at hunger in the world. So if you're surprised that he's not talking about pasta and pizza here, that's just the heads up. He says, it is a scandal that there is still hunger and malnutrition in the world. He speaks of the irony that in a time in which globalization enables us to know, we know the situations of need in the world. Globalization enables us to multiply exchanges of goods and human relations. But despite of this, the tendency seems to be growing to individualism, he says, and shutting ourselves in on ourselves, leading to an attitude of indifference, really at all levels, at the personal level, the institutional level, and the state level. And I just want to give you a third example of when he uses the word scandal. But this time, it's not so much the scandal of the poverty, but he looks at the scandal, at the way the media presents news. Media often presents as news things that are scandals. When important people or famous people do something wrong, might just be that person, but there's a scandal, so they present that as news. And he laments on this a little bit. He says, today, it pains the heart to say it. Today, to find a homeless person dead from the cold isn't news. He says that for the media, for them, a scandal is news. To think that so many children have nothing to eat isn't news. This is grave. This is grave. These are his words. We cannot remain calm. We cannot become stiff Christians, those Christians who are too educated, who speak of theological things while having tea. Calm Christians. No, we must become courageous Christians. And we must go to seek the poor. He's really trying to shake people from their indifference, from being too comfortable. And one of the ways he does this too is he speaks of what's happening in the culture. What are the prevailing ideas in the culture? And I just want to share just something on that here too. A phrase that he's used very frequently to describe the prevailing culture is that we live in a throwaway culture. Has anyone heard him say that? We live in a throwaway culture. And by this, it seems that he means a culture too dominated by consumerism. Things are only valuable in as much as they're useful to me. And if they're not useful to me, they're expendable. We can throw it away. So there's large amounts of waste in this throwaway culture. And in his World Food Day message, again, not the pasta message, but the poverty message, he made reference that approximately one-third of the global production of food is not available because of ever greater losses and wastefulness. And that would be enough to drastically reduce the number of hungry people in the world. He said too that the throwaway culture often leads to sacrificing men and women to the idols of profit and consumption. And I think by this he means that we've lost our focus. Instead of using our resources and our means of production to serve men and women, to put men and women first, instead men and women tend to be seen as an expendable resource, which can be sacrificed to serve capitalism, to serve profit. The dignity of the human person is being forgotten. Humanity is being forgotten. And to use another of his common phrases, he says that we are a society that's affected by the globalization of indifference. This he says many, many times, and he mentioned it especially at that time at Lampedusa. He says that the globalization of indifference makes us accustomed slowly to the sufferings of others as if that were something normal. So we lose our sensitivity to others' suffering. He says we are a society that has forgotten the experience of weeping. of suffering with. The globalization of indifference has taken from us the ability to weep. That's something, I think, to reflect upon. And it reminds me of that phrase in the Gospel where Jesus says, quoting that proverb, "We played the pipes for you and you wouldn't dance. We sang dirges and you wouldn't weep." The Pope doesn't want us to be like dead men walking, unaffected by the plight of those who are poor. So the question is, what does he suggest? What does he want from us? Rather than a throwaway culture or a culture of indifference and individualism, he wants to encourage a culture of encounter. Now, this is a phrase too that he's used many times, a culture of encounter. A culture of encounter, but even more so than in his words, he speaks about this culture of encounter. I think, as we kind of mentioned at the beginning, he's really showing and manifesting this culture of encounter through his deeds, through going out and meeting with people, encountering people. I think that's why he's causing his security guards so many headaches. He wants to get out there and he wants to encounter people face to face. He doesn't want to stay at a distance. And even when he visits an institute for disabled children, this is something he did in Assisi, when it's possible, he greets everyone individually, knowing that it's going to take a lot of time and he's got a busy schedule already, he's the Pope, but for him it's worthwhile to greet everyone individually. And when he visited the Center for Refugees in Rome, he sat down with two of them just to make sure he heard their story. In living out this culture of encounter, especially by putting the poor and the most disadvantaged at the center, we grow in humanity, he says. We recognize that they are human persons. They have stories. They have histories. They have joys and sorrows. They have needs. And in serving them, there is a mutual enrichment. It's not just we're giving to them and they're being enriched. We also are enriched in the experience. Because solidarity and love and mercy and humility, they make us more human. Now, in speaking of this culture of encounter, we need to introduce what I haven't mentioned yet, but I think it's the most central idea in Pope Francis's thoughts on the poor. And that is that the poor are the flesh of Christ. Okay, this is a phrase he said many, many, many times. The poor are the flesh of Christ. Over and over again, he says this. He wants us to be courageous Christians who go out to seek those who are in fact Christ's flesh. And to help you understand this, I'll share with you just a little story of his namesake, St. Francis of Assisi. Some of you might know the story of St. Francis and the leper. But right at the end of St. Francis's life, when he's reflecting back at the beginning of his conversion, he wrote these words, "When I was in sin, it seemed too bitter for me to see lepers." And we know this was the case because when he was a young man, he used to go way out of his way to get away from lepers. One of the sources say more than 2 miles out of the way just to avoid any contact with lepers who he found very repulsive. Until this one day. On this one day, he's on a horse, he's going along the road. And there before him is a leper. But this time, he didn't flee the other way. This time, he got down off the horse. And he walked up and approached the leper. And he reached out and he embraced the leper. And he kissed the leper. And this time, rather than giving into his fears, into his repulsion, he encountered for the first time the humanity of that leper. That it was a human being. And that he was a human being in need. And in that moment, Francis's whole horizon was changed. His vision, his understanding of life, his values, his way of interacting with the world. He described the change in this way. "What had seemed bitter to me was turned into sweetness of soul and body." That's pretty profound. And the very place that he'd been avoiding, the place that where he'd been putting up a block, the place where he didn't want to go because he feared, because he was repulsed, that was the very place that he encountered Christ, where his life was transformed. And it was the very place that Christ had been wanting to meet him. It was the place where Christ was waiting to heal the leprosy of his heart. Now, this experience of Francis and the leper was also quoted by Pope Francis when he visited Assisi. So it's had an impact on Pope Francis himself. Saint Francis saw lepers differently after that experience, after that encounter. And he set about to serve them wholeheartedly, knowing that in doing so, he was touching the flesh of Christ. And in our opening prayer, when we reflected on those words of Saint Paul, we contemplated Jesus' own self-emptying. He's becoming poor for our sake, taking on poor human flesh. Saint Francis was profoundly amazed by the poverty that God adopted for himself. And there were three key things from the life of Christ that really blew Francis's mind about how the Son of God would entered so in such a poor way into our humanity. And those three moments, the first was in the crib, that the Son of God entered into the womb of the Virgin Mary, became an unborn child, and was born in such poor conditions, not in a nice place, but in a cave amongst the animals, and placed in a manger, which is a trough, for a food trough for animals. The second is the cross, that Christ emptied himself so much as to die naked on a cross and allow himself to be sacrificed even to the point of death, complete self-emptying. And that third moment is in the Eucharist. Francis was just so in love with the Eucharist because in it he saw a God who so emptied himself and continues to do so to come to us in such a fragile way, such a humble way, under the form of an ordinary piece of bread. That God does this for us and comes to encounter us in such a humble way. And Saint Francis recognized in these three things, he recognized true love. And he said, that is true love. That is what I want. That is how I want to live my life. And really, that's the charism of the Franciscans, is to live that. That's why they call us friars minor, lesser brothers. That lesser, or the word minor, doesn't mean we're under 18. I'm vocation director, they have to be over 18. But the word minor means to come in this minority in the same dynamic as God came to us in the person of Christ, in emptying himself, especially in these three ways that speak volumes to us about the love of God, this humble love of God. So Pope Francis wants us to do this too. He wants us to go out and to encounter the poor flesh of Christ in the poor. Remember that Jesus said, if you do it to the least of mine, then you do it to me. Do you see Jesus in the poor? Pope Francis asked something very profound. This is what he would say to people in the confessional. So he's not revealing people's sins. He doesn't do that. But he reveals something of how he would challenge people. And he says, when you give alms, do you look into the eyes of the man or woman to whom you give alms? And then he asks the second question. When you give alms, do you touch the hand of the one to whom you give alms? Or do you toss the coin?